Have you ever been on your own before?
No, never.
Your last relationship lasted how many years?
Around 12.
Sexual preference?
Women. Is there a bisexual option available?
No, sir. This option is no longer available.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalenge. Time for this week's edition of On the Mark with Mark Leonard. This week, Mark is talking about the film The Lobster.
It's been the worst summer for blockbusters in recent memory, but the best beach season for avant-garde art films in roughly the same amount of time. Go figure. So you could counterbalance the underperforming Ghostbusters reboot with the dazzling depravity of the Neon Demon and shield yourself from the tepidly reviewed Independence Day sequel with the crackling wit of Jane Austen's Love and Friendship. You can continue that streak by catching the astonishing Colin Farrell in The Lobster. It's the first English-language film of Academy Award-nominated Greek director Yorgos Lanthimos, and like his masterful Dogtooth before it, The Lobster is squirm-inducing, mesmerizing, and pretty tough to shake. It's also darn funny, especially if you enjoy dystopian absurdist comedies about people being transformed into the animal of their choice if they fail to find a proper human life mate over the course of 45 supervised days. Oh, it's creepy, but it's also hilarious, chock full of cutting societal metaphors with standout supporting performances from John C. Reilly and Rachel Weisz. The Lobster is consistently simmering with tension. Some will find it just weird. Others will recognize its greatness. It gets a grade of A from me. Ed, back over to you.
Thanks, Mark. And as always, don't forget to check out Mark's great website. You can read all of his long-form reviews. It is at reviewedbymarkleonard.wordpress.com. And as always, Mark will be back next week. Do you eat in the car? Is it really legal to be able to eat in a car? I guess it must be if we have all of these drive-through restaurants. They don't expect you to sit there and eat your burgers and everything else in the parking lot after you get it or take it home. So people nosh as they're in traffic. What are some of the worst foods to eat in the car? And this has nothing to do with nutrition or for you or your body. What are the most dangerous foods to eat? Remember the woman who sued McDonald's? They handed her a cup of coffee through the drive-thru and she spilled it on herself and she sued and she won a lot of money because I guess she didn't know that coffee is just inherently hot. But anyway, foods that can mess you up and mess your car up as you're driving. Here we go. This from CheatSheet.com. The first one would be, of course, as we just mentioned, the catastrophic coffee. Now, it's not just because it's hot. Sometimes the lids don't really match up with the cups. If you go into some of these convenience stores where you make your own coffee and then you have to find the dome lid to go with the paper cup and the whole thing and all that, well, sometimes when you get out to the car, you realize that science isn't always 100% accurate because it doesn't really fit the right way. So, yeah, you go to pick it up, you squeeze it the wrong way, boom, and the top pops off and you got coffee all over the place. The other one that's really annoying is the top that has the hole in it for you to drink from. Well, what happens is if you fill the coffee up too high, you stop short, and all of a sudden you got coffee squirting out of this thing, and it's all over you and the seats and everything else. So coffee can be bad. The next one would be hulking hamburgers. Now, I'm not talking about the regular fast food hamburgers. They're pretty self-contained because there is not a lot on them. But what about a diner-type hamburger? Let's say you walk into a diner and you order one of these triple-decker things and you take it to go and you're driving around and you're going to eat this thing as you're in traffic or trying to weave your way in and through traffic. That doesn't work because you'll have pickles and ketchup and drippings of cheese and pieces of meat and onions all over the place. So hulking hamburgers, also not a good selection to dine with in your car. The next one, deadly donuts. Now, we know donuts are not good for you, but that's not what we mean. What about the ones that have stuff inside of them? Boston cream, jelly donuts. Sometimes the stuff inside these donuts, it's under pressure. So you bite into the one side and all of a sudden you're going to shoot out all of this jelly filling or whatever it would be out the other side as it explodes and then it's all over your seat. And jelly stains, folks, take it from personal experience or on you. Sometimes you have to lean over and you're on top of the gear shift eating. So if it drops, at least it's going to drop there and you hope you're going to be able to clean it up. The next one, again, these are the worst foods to eat in your car. Accidental ice cream. Ice cream is a nightmare, especially on a really hot summer day. I know you have air conditioning, but when you first get back in the car after getting the ice cream, the air conditioning has worn off from being off for a while. So it's hot and you've got the sun peering through the windows. And so it's very difficult to keep the ice cream in one place at one time. So ice cream also a no-no. And here's one I didn't really think of. The final one on this list, terrible tacos. You ever stop by Taco Bell? and get a couple of, and it's usually not the soft tacos because they're self-contained. But you ever get yourself a hard shell conventional taco and try to eat that? Mm-mm, same thing. You're going to bite into one end and the whole thing will start to send this seismic shiver down the shell, and you will have tomatoes and pieces of lettuce and sauced pieces of meat jumping out the other end, landing on your light-colored pants all over the upholstery. It is just not a good thing to do. This is America Weekend, and I'm Ed Pilanke. America Weekend.
Order in the court.
This is Attorney Jay Coleman with The Final Verdict. Diane had just paid her fare on a city bus and was beginning to sit down when it pulled away from the curb. She fell and hurt her back, so she sued the city for her pain and injuries. But in court, the city proved that the bus was operating in a safe manner because the driver did not swerve dangerously away from the curb. Who do you think won this case? The final verdict after this.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Although it was proven that the driver didn't swerve dangerously, it is still the driver's duty to wait until Diane had a chance to sit down before moving the bus. Diane won, and that's the final verdict.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. So does your child like to be tickled? Well, it can do wondrous bonding things. Here's what a physiological tickle is and the science of it. First, a tickle is any attempt to defend the body's vulnerable parts, and you can't tickle yourself. Well, maybe a little. Second, only when the tickler is perceived as harmless will a person enjoy a tickle. What's the cheap psychological trick? When you tickle your child, they trust you. They believe you. They believe you will not harm them. They are surrendering themselves to you. They laugh because they love you. Between parent and child, this is an inviolate trust. Do it right, and it can facilitate a lifetime of love and bonding. Do it wrong, cross the line, and a simple tickle can turn into a lifetime of separation. Check out my book, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Parents, at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.